the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza Hillman here. Welcome to one and all. Those of you who are just joining me for the first time, those of you who've been here before, those of you who stumbled upon here by mistake, hit play, and now have no idea what's going on because you thought it was a cooking podcast, which, by the way, would be the worst idea for a podcast, the cooking podcast. I'll note to self, I'll start that next week. How are you guys doing? You guys doing all right? Everybody all right? Good. Great. We're moving on. Welcome. I got stuff to go over this week. You know I do, and that's hopefully why you come here. Otherwise, it would just be just a blank hour of nothing except for me reading articles out of the paper that had nothing to do with health, happiness, or living better in the modern world. If you're just joining me, that's what I do here. I try to help you live better in the modern world, teach you the tools to equip you to live better in the modern world. Those tools, you might ask, my small step approach to health and happiness. We are a natural being in an unnatural world. That's what I believe. I believe that the more we acknowledge and remember that we're animals at heart, physically and mentally, we do better when we just cram little things in day to day that are more in line with that part of ourselves. And then we go, okay, I'm better equipped to go to deal with what's going on at McDonald's. It allows us, and by the way, I've got 90 countries listening to this. Every one of them knows what McDonald's is. That's amazing in a really awesome way. Good job, McDonald's. Where was I? How to live better in the modern world. How to negotiate what we are up against. And I kind of see it that way. I know that sounds a little bit like contentious, but it kind of is. Because I'll tell you what is not going on. The corporations and companies that are selling you products and the things, people that are selling you quick fixes, they're not doing it to make you healthy and happier. They're doing it to make a buck. And that's fine. I'm not against making a buck. It's just how, that's all. I just kind of like to kick you guys on the way so you kind of know how to do that. And if you want to dive in to a diet or a quick fix because it seems fun to you and it looks good, do great, because that's empowering and you can do that yourself. Coming from it that way seems better than coming from it from a place of fear, from a place of feeling crappy about yourself, from a place of thinking that losing weight is going to be the solution to your life and your problems. That's where I have a bone to pick, even a tooth to pick. At that point. But I'm not going to get ahead of myself, okay? Because I know you guys try to do that every time. You're like, let's help him get ahead of himself. Not letting you do it. This episode's brought to you by my race, the Mendocino Coast 50K, MendocinoUltra.com, at Mendocino Ultra for Facebook and Twitter, folks, if you want to check that out. Kind of cool. Look, I got to tell you, there's some cool stuff going on with that thing. 2 seconds on that. I got people signing up for the damn thing. Who knew? I'm capping it at 100. I swear to you, 6 months ago or 8 months ago when I conceived of this race, I said, if I get 35, I'm stoked. That'd be amazing for the first year. Guess what? Up to 35. Boom. Boom. We just finish it now and I'm totally happy as a clam. Clams, by the way, studies show, are happy. I don't know how that's even possible to do a study, but it's a double blind. I'll tell you that much. Mm. Got a little hot cocoa going on. It's raining outside my door, better than it was raining inside my door about 10 minutes ago, but I fixed that situation. Okay, moving on. SidGarzaHillman.com is my, I'm all over the place tonight, you guys. Look, I'm not going to apologize. I'm kind of sorry. SidGarzaHillman.com is my website. You can find out about me there. I'm a private coach, health coach, nutritionist, but really mostly a podcaster. I'm a YouTuber, as it were. And you can go to YouTube, search on Sid Garza Hillman, but you can also find me on the usual suspects, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and my second fave, Strava. Got some new followers every week, getting followers. I love that. Follow you right back. That's the rule. You follow me, I follow you right back. Took a great 8-miler with Sid on Saturday, the next 8 miles of the race. So now I have done, this is not a joke, 30 miles of the 31.4 miles of my race. I've seen 30 miles of the trails of that run. Didn't do it all at once. I small stepped it in a sense, you guys. Oh my gosh, I did. I small stepped it. I took it in little increments. Isn't that amazing? But if you're racing it, you can't do it in increments. You got to show up and run the damn thing. I'm not going to wait around for 4 days for you to finish the stupid race. Okay? God, it's annoying that you would even ask. Anyway, that was an 8-miler. Good, some good elevation. Beautiful. Posted it on Strava. Go on Strava. Well, but I don't run. Don't care. What do? Well, I walk. Good. You lift weights? Good. There's a list of 1,500 things you can do that move your body. Dance. Get on Strava and just post your dance for 15 minutes to Lionel Richie in my living room. To me, I wouldn't say Lionel Richie. I would change that to like the Rolling Stones just for the purposes of Strava, because people will look at you. And so it's better to just present that, and it's better. It's just better. Okay? I dance to Lionel Richie. This is no diss against Lionel Richie, just the perception of Lionel Richie, as it were. If you go to SidGarzaHillman.com, t-shirts, mugs, and bracelets are for sale. What would I do, bracelets? Not me, Sid, but you. What would you do? Boom. You can donate to the podcast. Got a donation this week. Thank you. I honestly, this is for sure, for real. Okay. Now, I've also getting orders for the custom signed copy of my book, Approaching the Natural, a Health Manifesto. You can only get that through my website, SidGarzaHillman.com. You buy it. I email you and say, what do you want me to write? And you email back and say what you want me to write. And I do that and send it out to you. It's pretty awesome. And I fixed the mailing postage glitch, so it's literally how much I spend. I'm not marking up postage at all. It's like exactly what I spent on postage, okay? Just so you know. But it also makes a great gift, just the book. I'm just going to sell for just like 1 second, but it's a small little great stocking stuffer, awesome gift. It's priced on purpose, inexpensively by my publisher, to make it really accessible for everybody. And it's been doing well, I think, partly because of that. People give it a shot, and then they go, okay, because it's a different kind of book. If people who've read it know that. It ain't a diet book, I'll tell you that much, and it ain't a cookbook. But it's a great gift to give around for the holidays. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, independent bookstores, non-independent bookstores, it's there. If it's not, they ran out, ask for it. Boom. So that's what goes on there. iTunes review, also nail me one, will you? For crying out loud, good. I head up the Wellness Center at the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. There I do, I head up the Wellness Center, obviously teach nutrition classes and head up their retreats. There's a bunch of them, cooking intensives, transitioning to health retreats, and vegan running retreats with Matt Frazier, the No Meat Athlete. And you can find out more information, including discounts and things like that, on StanfordInn.com, or you can just email me at podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. Marshall, Texas, I'll be there from April 1st through the 3rd. Healthfest.com. Victoria Moran is speaking there. She's awesome. She did a little tweet. That Michael Greger doctor guy who does nutritionfacts.org. We got some heavy hitters. And I'm not even talking about me. I mean, I'm a heavy hitter. I have a podcast. Who has a podcast is not a heavy hitter, honestly. Then I'll be at the Edinburgh Veg Fest. That's Edinburgh, Scotland, not Edinburgh, Oklahoma. Not to be confused, August 6th and 7th. I think there are more dates to come, but nothing firmed as of yet. Okay, good. So you guys ready to get going? How was your week? How was your week? Did you add in something that you've never done before? Did you adjust a step that you already had, but you decided to up it? So I'm doing my integrated exercise step. I'm up to 20 push-ups, 20 squats, 7 times a day, most days, easily 5 days, sometimes 6. Sometimes on one of the days, I'll do pull-ups like I did this week. Interestingly, if you joined me last week or obviously before that, but last week I was discussing my fatigue. If you hear me having a little bit of energy, got on top of that because it was a kind of a thing. And so the dial back of last week, I will get into in just a second. But in the context of that fatigue, remember when I talked about last week, the relationship of your actions to the rest of your life, not only that, but of course the relationships of you to yourself, you to other people, but in terms of the relationship of your actions to the whole of your life, in the integrated exercise part of my life, I've been doing 20 for a while now. I think I'm up to 4 weeks. And typically the history of my integrated exercise is that I usually have been finding that I'll add an increment. Usually every time it's been by one. One more push-up, one more squat. And it's turned out to be about every 2 to 3 weeks. This time it's going on 4, where I have not upped it in 4 weeks. And that's because of the relationship of that part of my life to the other parts of my life. And this is what I mean I've been really tired. I talked about it last week by doing that video learning, that new program and the whole thing, which I'm done with now. It's great. But I really, really dialed back on that because it was getting to be, I was really tired and it was affecting me. And so I did not up my integrated exercise as a result. And I probably won't this week, even though I'm feeling much, much better, which is good. I'm a lot more rested. But I'm going to hang. But I'm definitely, strength-wise, fully ready. Like fully ready. And that's the lesson here, guys. In the strength realm, if I just took that in isolation, I would up it no problem because I can bang through 20 push-ups and 20 squats, like almost no stress at all. It's great. But it's just, I don't want to push that given what else is going, given I'm trying to recover from the sleep or lack thereof. And so that's the decision I'm making. I'm still moving my body throughout the day, you guys, still running. Didn't run this morning because I had to sign my kids up for classes at the rec center. So lost out on my run, but it's, you know, that's what you do. So I'm going to go for a run tomorrow. Okay. So back to you guys. Did you add a step? Did you add onto a step? Did you consider starting a steps list? Did you get up in the morning and go, okay, I got 1,400 things. I got, oh, wait a second. I'm just going to stop for 1 second and I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to get a little perspective just for 1 second. I had a conversation today with my buddy Jorgen, who, if you look at my Portland Veg Fest video, he's the guy that was, he lives in Mendocino. We rarely see each other, but of course he was in Portland that same weekend that I was speaking at the Portland Veg Fest. And so we had a coffee up there because apparently that's the only way you can see a friend who lives literally 5 miles away from you is to go to a whole other state. Anyway, so he called me today and he was talking about, we had a little discussion about meditation for reasons that I'm not really going to go into. However, he was like, deep breath can't really be meditation. I mean, it takes longer than that to get to the void. And I don't know what that means. And I told him that. I go, I'm sorry, I disagree. I think I think meditation is becoming present. I think that it's becoming a witness. It's being able to look at things as they happen without judgment. I think that's kind of the idea from all the things that I've read for years and years. Of course, there's different kinds of meditation. There's mantra-based meditation. There's listen to your breath meditation. There's not listening to anything. There's not trying to breathe or anything, just being there and letting the thoughts come and go. And when you come back to present, et cetera, et cetera. But to say that it's not because it doesn't, you need more time to get to this place, I think it's missing the point. I think it's missing the core, the very nature of meditation. I don't think animals need to sit for 30 minutes on a pillow. I think I'm totally projecting. So what it is, but my podcast. But I think that animals are more present. I think that humans, we get distracted. We have distractions. We are up, there's the words again, up against. We're up against so much distraction and so much that on a physical level prevents us from focusing or being aware, like light box foods that jack us up, crash us down, make our brains not think clearly. People don't, in my opinion, I start when I teach nutrition classes at the Stanford Inn, the first slide of my talk, if you've ever been to one, is why eat healthy. And it's like I started, and I always say I'm on the fence with this question because I know it sounds trite. I know it's like, duh, you eat healthy so you don't get sick and get cancer. But I think people don't make enough of a connection between how they feed their bodies and literally how clearly they think. I mean, it is proven scientifically the brain, the chemistry of the brain, the blood sugar, everything else that affects the way that our body functions is affected in large part, but again, not the only thing, but in large part by the food we eat. I think the largest part by the food that we eat. And of course, it's all the other factors too that play into stress and how stress literally debilitates our ability to think clearly. Do you understand that chronic stress affects our ability to think? It affects our mood. Light box foods affect our mood. So there's a lot of things that we're up against, these distractions. And do we need things like meditation, like sitting on a pillow for 30 minutes to give us a break? Of course. And they're useful. And I do them. But at the same time, what I'm mostly interested in my practice is how to bring meditation into your life, not as a thing that takes you out of life, but a thing that takes you into life. And what I realized a while ago is that I'm actually for both things. Like, I exercise, I go for a run. That's I call it partitioned exercise. I partition that time, but I also integrate. I partition and I integrate. And I think that's a very good balanced, that's what I advocate for with my clients and with you guys. It's a balanced approach to life. It is, yes, take this time if you can afford it, not financially, but time-wise. If you can afford to sit on a pillow for 15, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever, great. But that's you separating out and saying, okay, I need this time. Like I talked about last week, I need this moment. Can I give me a moment? Fine. That's what that can be for you. And that's great. But if you can then come out of that and go into your life exactly how you've always been, and it's not you, and you come back into your life and you're just as stressed as you always are, and you're just as compartmentalized as you always are, and you're just as uptight as you always are, and you're all these things that you don't like about yourself and that you would like to change, don't think that that 30 minutes is going to solve that problem for you unless it is something that you can bring into the way that you live your life. At the end of the day, you guys, my approach, my goal with this podcast, my videos, my practice, everything, isn't to get you guys to the astral plane. It's not to get you to nirvana. It's not to get you to come out of your body. Maybe those things can happen. Don't know, don't care. What I'm interested in is how to help you all live better in the modern world. And you know how I always say we're a natural being in an unnatural world. Well, if that's so, which I believe it is, in theory, I would be advocating for us to just leave the modern world and go back and live in nature. But I'm not. I'm not saying you should stop doing what you're doing and just cut loose and say, I'm out of here. I'm going to go live in the mountains for the rest of my life. What I'm saying is acknowledge these things about you so that you know how to get back to who you truly are in moments throughout your day. That's my goal. How to do this better. And the deep breaths are as much meditation as any meditation, just not by quantity, but by quality. Yes, you take a deep breath, you listen to that breath. For that moment, those moments, you are in that place. And it is essentially outside of time and space. It is that moment. And I will fight for that opinion forever because I've lived it and I understand it and I've helped people and they see what that's like. And so when I ask you, you know, did you add something in? It's like, well, did you? Because try that this week. Try, you know, I really want to, you know, it's, you know, the new social media thing. Call to action. Did you put a call to action in there? Is there a call? How was your Facebook post? Is there a call to action? This thing drives me batty, mostly because I'm just the worst social media-ist. But man, do I make a good cup of hot cocoa. And by make, I mean pour the powder in the glass with hot water and stir it. I don't know why I got on the meditation thing. Well, only to say that this is the crux of my small step approach. That to not do anything because you don't have time to sit for 45 minutes because you think that's what it takes to get you to the so-called void. To not exercise because you don't have 30 minutes that it takes to get you to the target heart rate for a minimum of 20 minutes, et cetera, and then with the driving to the gym and not, so you don't exercise at all. And you say to me, well, one squat is an exercise. And I say, you're damn right it's exercise. Now, is it as much as 20, 30 minutes on a treadmill or for a run or a walk or whatever? No, of course not. Why would I argue that? It's ridiculous. But to say that qualitatively doing a squat is not exercise because somehow some book told you, remember that the things that we are set in stone about, people were set in stone about completely different things 100, 200 years ago. All the things that we are, this is it, this is the fact, and then we go, oh my God, there's another essential amino acid. We were 100% sure, and we put on white coats, and we were authoritatively saying that it was only 8 essential amino acids. But now there's 9. Can you see that sometimes things change, and we find out more, and that's great, and we act on that knowledge in theory? But also, can you see that there's ways that you can live your life that are independent of those things in a sense that you can dial back to become you and taking a deep breath, whether a book tells you it's not meditation or it is meditation, kind of doesn't really matter. Moving your body, I think we can all agree, independent of books, and I love books and I did a ton of research for mine and I am still reading them. So I'm not against information, obviously. But at the same time, that can hold us back. I talk about this now and then on this podcast because what I see people stopping is they don't eat well because they can't follow the exact thing that is laid out in a book that says this is the exact way for everybody to eat. And I don't mean a kind of a general idea. I mean, for breakfast, eat this. For lunch, eat that. For dinner, eat that. Measure, count, weigh that. 1/2 cup is a serving of vegetables. Okay. A serving of vegetables is 1/2 a cup of vegetables. Okay. According to whom? According to whom? I mean, these are the things that we just, like, we're counting and weighing and measuring. We're spending all this time. And I'm saying we stop and we take a deep breath. Boom, we're living better immediately. We move our bodies, we get off our chair and we do a few squats and we get back in our chair. We're living better immediately. And you guys come and listen to this podcast, and I hope that it's a reminder. I know that it is. I don't even hope, because I get the emails from you guys and I see the reviews on iTunes. And I know that it's working for you, but I also know that there's a certain suspension of disbelief when you take this on, because it's weird. And because it's so long term, you don't see quote unquote results as fast as you do with diets. But like I said, apples and oranges, because diets give you a certain specific result that's not lasting. And this My Small Steps approach gives you a plethora of results, one of which could be weight loss, but it's in the context of a whole bunch of other stuff like self-esteem, self-confidence, knowledge, strength, power. So, but it's long-term. So there's sort of like this leap of faith. So what I say is, don't take my thing on full bore. I mean, small step into My Small Steps approach. If you guys have heard this before, if you've listened to me before, I have said, if you're still in the mode of, I just want to try diets and I just want to try cleanses, do them. Do not give them up to be a small stepper yet. Don't do it. Because you're going to be, what everybody else does is look back and go, oh man, I probably should have done that. I shouldn't have done this. I should have done the diet instead. Do the diet. Nothing is keeping you from going full bore into a diet, but starting a steps list, which consists of 2 deep breaths per day, 1 in the morning when you wake up and 1 before you go to bed, and writing that on a list and putting that list up, and also doing the diet and also doing the cleanse and also going to spin class and also doing all the other things that you're doing. It doesn't preclude you from doing that. But could you do that? Could you handwrite it on a piece of paper and put it in your purse/wallet, on your steering wheel, on your phone, on your toothbrush that says 2 squats when I brush my teeth? While I'm brushing my teeth, I go 2 squats. Because you know what? I haven't exercised in 6 months. Haven't moved a muscle in 6 months except for to my car and to my office and back to my car and back to my house. So if I did 2 squats, would that be something? Well, worst case is it's not. But it's only going to cost you 2 squats. I mean, you know, you're not going to write me an email in a month and go, Sid, you wasted my entire life. I spent 3 seconds a day and you made me waste it. I want those minute back of the last month, because that's almost what it added up to. 1 minute over a month. Sid, I can't believe you did that to me. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you anything, but it could add to your life. It could create a foundation of a you who exercises every day, 7 days. Yeah, I exercise every day. You do? What do you do every day? Well, I do squats while I brush my teeth. Well, that's not exercise. Okay. But I did that 3 months ago, and then it went up to, you know, 3 squats twice a day, and then it went up to 10 squats a day, then it went up to 10 squats every hour, then it went up to 20 squats every hour, then it went up to 20 squats every hour, plus a 5-minute walk in the morning, et cetera, over the last 4 months. And now, whoa, what happened? I'm walking and I'm exercising and I feel really good and I've lowered overall stress. Oh, what happened? I lost weight. I guess I lost weight. That's cool. Side effect. But Sid, all the things you listed doesn't burn calories. It doesn't burn enough calories, but it could make you more aware in your life. It could make you less stressed. And guess what weight gain is? Stress. Okay, it's stressful. So you now all of a sudden you're feeling a little better, stress has come down. And now when you're sitting down for a meal, you're not as fatigued, you have more energy, you're in a place that's more you than not you, and you're not overeating. Boom, winner, still champion. Hot cocoa with reishi mushroom. Okay, sorry, I just dozed off there for a second. Yeah, much better week of sleep, you guys. Much better week of sleep. Let's get into the dial back day, shall we? I have been dialing hashtag dial back day, and I got somebody in New Zealand, not the old Zealand. I've told you that's gone. It's old Zealand, 2014. New Zealand, she's dialing back. She sends me, she Instagrams her what she's kind of up to. Love that. Love it. And there's a guy in Canada who's experimented with it too, a few other people as well. I love it. So I've been doing fruit only days for a while. A few weeks ago, decided to morph it into sort of a for a few different reasons, cold being one of them, lack of sleep, you know, the whole thing. And so I was kind of dialing in, on where I wanted to dial back. Good night. And one of them was sleep. So I wanted to kind of dial back my video course that I was taking so that I could get more sleep. Did that. Check. Also, my dessert problem. I talked about it last week. So I decided Monday through Thursday of last week, I was going to not do my amazingly brilliant and genius, I can't say that enough because it is dessert that I make. And it was very successful. A little bit of struggle. And here's the struggle that I found very interesting. And I coined a term that I think probably has been used 1,000 billion times, but I didn't take any time to Google it because I don't really care. So if somebody else has used this, my apologies. I call it the associative habit. And what I realized in this week, last week, of not having dessert, basically Monday through Thursday, was so my dessert had become an associative habit. And this is what I mean. It wasn't like day to day I was sitting going, I really feel like having this dessert. It wasn't even that conscious. It was the plethora of other little things in my life that were occurring. And within those things, I would also be having dessert. So therefore, when I would do those other things, I would just sort of be like, oh, and also I should be having dessert because this is what I do when I do these other things. I associated dessert with sitting, hanging out in the living room with my wife, watching a show. Sometimes we'll watch a show. And it was like, okay, when I do this, this is when I have that thing. I was thinking about this morning. I was like, when I smoked cigarettes, which I never smoked like a ton, but I never was like, people go like, oh, I drink alcohol and I smoke cigarettes. That was never me. Mine was coffee and cigarette. Like that was the best pairing. Like I remember just being on tour in Germany and just get up in the morning in some freaking city town in Germany, would perform the night before, get up, cup of coffee, cigarette. And it was like, oh, I mean, I still remember it. Very fond memories, right? But I wouldn't have a cigarette now. It would feel disgusting. But the associative habit of that was the thing that I sort of had to get over. And for a while, I would have a cup of coffee and not have a cigarette. And it would be like this missing hole. And that's essentially what I went through this week of my dial back week, essentially, which was no dessert, you know, each night. And so I finished my dinner and we sort of clean up together. And then we'd come in and I'd be getting work done. Somebody put a show on, but I'd be doing some other. And I couple times be like, oh, this, I get the, oh, wait, no, I'm not. Oh, yeah, no, I should get, oh, no. And there's this weird associative habit. So I just look at it and go, there's my meditation, right? Just look at it and go, okay, good to know. That's what that is. Let it go. But the thing about it is I had made a decision to let it go. It was one of the things I did. You know, dessert was one of these things I did while doing these other things. And it was the one thing I said, this isn't serving me. And so I'm going to not do that. Pretty restrictive, right? Except in the context, in the relationship to my whole life, again, drawing back from last week, in the relationship to my whole life, not restrictive at all. And here's why. Because if I waited just a little longer, like 10 hours or 11 hours later, when I got up in the morning and felt way better for not doing it physically and mentally, it wasn't restriction at all. And I had this very, very odd experience last week running. I think it was on Thursday. I got up and I was running on this trail that I run on often. Get on Strava, you'll see. And running, and I for a moment I felt like I do the morning after I have my fruit only days where I feel really light and I'm running fast, and that was happening. And I was running. I was like, oh, fruit only. Wait, I didn't do fruit only. I had the same physical energy, the same energy from just finishing dinner and just not having anything else. It made me finish food. My food, it was done by 8 o'clock. I finished eating by 8. Probably we'll all revisit that a little bit next week because it's a great thing. But again, put your freaking mechanical pencil down. Don't write finish eating by 8 because Sid said so. This is my experience with it. Yes, it has physical benefits because it allows your body to process the food better before you go to lay down and go to sleep and everything shuts down for the night. It's just a better thing. And I was eating that dessert way later. And it was like, I think that was part of what was weighing me down. That's what I'm guessing. I got up in the morning feeling great, feeling light. Guess what? Feeling clarity of thought, feeling more rested. Boom. My lack of sleep wasn't just about getting to bed earlier. It was also how I was eating that was affecting my quality of sleep. We are so reductionist in our way of approaching our lives in the modern world that we think, you know, I'll get into this in a little while, but we think, you know, diabetes, carbohydrate, low carb, must be low carb, high protein, diabetes, you know, and it's so much of a bigger picture than that. In fact, it's just absolutely not about carbohydrate. It's about insulin and it's about high protein. It's about all these kinds of things, high fat especially. So it's a bigger picture of these things, but we're so isolationist in the way that we approach, and we think blood sugar, therefore lower my carbohydrate level, but we don't think about the health of the entire body. We don't think about the bigger picture of us as a complicated, complex mechanism. So in our lives are not simple one things. They are also a complex mechanism of balancing this and that, and this affects that, and work affects your family life, and family life affects your work and your commute and what you breathe in the air that you're breathing in and the food that you're putting in your bodies and the prescription drugs that you're on. All these things play in the same movie. They are all players in the same movie. And we can't just focus on, well, we can, we often do, but when we focus on one thing only, usually we fail. And when it comes, I've talked about supplements 1,000 times, but when we talk about isolating a nutrient out of a food, isolating magnesium, isolating vitamin B6, isolating vitamin C, and putting it into a pill, isolating calcium, when we do that, we fail. Because it's not meant to be in isolation. It's not processed in isolation. So we have to look at the entirety, and we have to accept the fact that no matter what somebody's trying to sell us, it's always better to get that food, to get those nutrients in the context of the food. But again, we know we have this knowledge about vitamin C, and so therefore, human nature or whatever, we think, and fear, which I'll get into in a minute, but we think, okay, vitamin C is good, and I know it's in food, but I don't know how much of it's in food, and that makes me feel unsure of myself. And so if I get it in a pill, I can measure it, and I know exactly the quantity that I'm putting in my body. But we're missing the bigger picture, which is that it doesn't exist like that in nature, and it doesn't process in our bodies the same way when we isolate it. It doesn't. It works in conjunction with other nutrients, and it's bound biochemically in the context of that food. And the fact that we don't want to admit is we don't know everything about nutrition. We don't know every phytochemical. There's thousands we haven't identified, and we're trying. It's great, so we can isolate lycopene and put it into a pill, but the fact of the matter is there's so much we don't know. And we may never know. It's that complex. I don't know. But what I do know is that tomato is good for you. And I do know that eating leafy greens is phenomenal for you. And I do know that drinking enough water during the day is great for you. And I do know that getting plenty of sleep is good for you. And I also know that moving your body throughout the day is excellent for you. So again, we can overthink these things, and we cannot trust our natural design and the way that Mother Nature sort of kicks things out. Or we can say, okay, well, because I don't trust that stuff, I've got to have it isolated and in separate pills, and so I can measure, count, and weigh anything. Fine, we spend billions of dollars doing that. You tell me how we're doing. You tell me, how are we doing? We must be the healthiest species on the earth because we know so much. We know way more than any animal does about nutrition. I mean, clearly. And animals don't get the benefit of pills. Wild ones don't get of course, domesticated ones do, but wild animals don't get the benefit of pills. So we're way healthier than every wild animal. We're definitely in a healthy weight, all of us, and we're not having a rise in major diseases. That's only for wild animals. They're all overweight or too skinny, and they're all dying massively of disease. And we're not. Humans are the only ones that are successful on this earth because we know so much. Okay? I'm not anti-knowledge. I just think it's good to use it and good to be aware of it and good to lay it on the context of who we are as an animal and who we are personally, each of us, in terms of the me, not me, and be able to assess that information in a way that makes the action that's based on that information more in line with who we are. Because we can know a whole bunch of stuff, but it all comes down to what we act, how we act. I studied vitamin C, I studied every vitamin, and I know all about the minerals, but the fact of the matter is, I still, knowing what I know, don't do pills, because I just go, all those things are amazing, and they all do amazing stuff, and they all need other things to do the things that they're doing. I'm just going to go to the food and get that out of there most of the time, okay? It's pretty simple, you guys, in terms of food, but not simple in terms of life, because we have families, jobs, and it's all the other things I talk about that makes it hard to implement these actions, and guess what? Solution is come to this podcast every week. Boom. and drink some hot cocoa. Okay. Speaking of coming to this podcast every week, my rash, boom. Did you guys like that? Anytime I kind of pause and then I start with my rash, there's just no getting bad. There's no getting better about that. 35 minutes in, just about hit the high point of this episode. Rash is gone. Haven't shaved in like 5 days and just waiting to clear that up. It's clear. Good. If you're just joining me, I am so sorry, but I'm not going to give you any more information. I'm just going to keep you guessing about what I mean by rash and just let your mind talk about meditation. Just watch the thoughts that are going through your mind right now. Just take a good look at those and let them go. Okay. I was thinking about sort of on this dial back thing and sort of on this knowledge thing about therapy, about practitioner. And what I was thinking is sort of what I call the good client. And what I mean is this: in any practitioner client relationship, and in a sense, even the relationship that I have with you guys, you know, listening to this podcast and you know, thinking about the advice that I dole out here every week, it comes down to how good the client is. And I don't mean good, bad, like you're a good person, but I just mean effective, how effective the client is. I think that we put a lot of weight into the practitioner, into the guru, into the so-called authority. When I think that ultimately it always comes down in every therapist / client relationship, it always comes down to how effective the client is in that relationship. Therapists have, I've got my advice and I think it works, of course. Why would I waste my time here? I wouldn't waste my time here every week. It would be a waste of my time to come here every week if I didn't believe what I'm talking about here and try to live it myself. But it only makes a difference to you if, number one, you try it on, but even more importantly, you are ready to try it on. And I think that a lot of times we will go to a practitioner, we'll go to a therapist because we think it's going to solve our, quote, problems, end quote, but we're really not ready to solve our problems. We want to get the therapist to solve the problems for us. Or I don't care how good a therapist is, it's only as good as the client is good. It's only as good as how honest and how forthright the client can be, the patient can be. It's only as good as the patient taking the pharmaceutical drug. The doctor can tell you the perfect drug for what you got going, but if you don't remember to take it and you're not willing to go and do the whole thing that he or she recommends you, then it doesn't care. It doesn't matter how brilliant the doctor is at all. Likewise, I come here every week and talk about my small steps approach, and there's no pressure. I'm just saying there's no way for you to know that it works. This is what I talked about, a leap of faith just minutes ago. But there's no way for you to know this works or not unless you do it and you do it right. You don't do it for 2 days. That's just not my bag. That is the struggle, by the way. Because you can do a cleanse for a week and see a whole bunch of so-called results. They're not going to last, but you can see there's tangible things you can feel. You can see on your scale and you go, see, that worked. But for me, with what I talk about, it's months, years. It's the rest of your life. Whoa, that's hardcore. And again, that's why don't necessarily jump over into my camp right now. But you could straddle. You could straddle my camp and another camp and test some things out. Again, you can small step in ways that don't mess you up doing the paleo diet and doing butter coffee and doing all the things that that pick your interest, because they're out there, man. There's some savvy marketers out there. $9 million in venture capital for butter coffee. You think that guy knows more than I do in marketing? Totally. Totally. I do a podcast every week that where I don't have guests most of the time, and I come here and just whip it, just crazy, crazy, nutty, nut, nut. That's my thing, nutty, nut, nut. That's mass appeal, right? But I come every week as a reminder, because eventually, I know this has happened because I get emails, people go, okay, I kind of jumped in and I got it and I got it. Oh, this has been really helpful. It's been a reminder. But it's only good if you're willing to try it and willing to do the actual thing, not the sort of pop version of anything. Well, I tried it for a few days and it didn't work. Okay, well, of course not, because it wasn't a few day thing. And it goes for diets too, by the way. The reason they don't work is people don't stick with them long enough. They'll do the 21 days, then they go, what do I do now? Oh, I might as well go back to my old habits because I'm too tired. And I was thinking in the context of weight loss, because of course that comes up a lot in my, you know, practice and just in the teaching that I do and everything, speaking, that seems to be on everybody's minds. It's always the first thing that I want to change the conversation away from. They want to talk about weight loss. And I go, okay, yeah, good. But that's not really what you want. You want to live happy and healthy. And the side effect of that will be weight loss. But for now. But I was thinking how many people are ready for weight loss. I'm ready for weight loss. I'm going to do that. You know how many people are ready for weight loss? As many people who are buying diet books. That'd be millions. They're all ready for weight loss. But here's what they're not ready for. Ready? Change. They're not ready for change. They want to go to the practitioner, in this case, the author of the diet book, and they want that to change their lives, but they're not ready for change. They're ready for weight loss, but they're not ready for change. They're not ready to do what it takes to achieve weight loss, at least healthy or not, period. They'll do, again, they can do the short term. Anybody can. You can lose weight in a short term, no problem. But to keep it off, to be at a healthy weight forever, takes change. It takes adjustment. It takes behavior change, small steps. That's my approach. But regardless of whether you do small steps or not, it takes change, lifestyle adjustment. There's no way to get around it, you guys. There's no way to get around it, especially if you're talking about health and happiness. I mean, if you just want weight loss, you could starve yourself. You could go on Atkins diet, basically the same thing. You can take a plethora of pills that probably would work if you remember to take them exactly when you're supposed to take them. Who knows? You can get gastric bypass. But do you know how many people have gastric bypass and gain all the weight back and they can only eat little meals and somehow they're heavier than they were before the gastric bypass? They're ready for a surgery, but they're not ready for change. That's what's going to do it for you. And that's why I go always, it's not really about the weight loss. You go to gastric bypass for happiness is essentially what you're doing, but you're not ready to be happy. You're not ready to be happy because you haven't become the good client yet. You haven't done the job, the work, and it is work. And that's, again, why I'm so passionate about the small step, because it eases you in so that all this heaviness, not in weight, but in emotional heaviness, doesn't come out all at once, because it is heavy and it's serious and we got other things to do while we're doing this process. Hardcore, right? You mean I got to bring all this stuff up from my childhood and go to work and raise a child and have financial stress? Oh, yeah, that's convenient. Yeah, that'd be great. Let me go to work for 10 hours, come home, and then spill about what happened to me when I was 14 and what my father used to tell me. That's great. Yeah, thank you, but no, I'm Game of Thrones, baby. That'll take me out of that madness, right? Plenty of people are ready for weight loss. Plenty of people are ready for weight gain in terms of muscle mass and all these kinds of things, but few are ready for change. And the question before you begin anything is, are you ready for really what it takes? Are you ready for really what this is about? And in my approach, of course, you don't have to be fully ready, because you can dabble. You can put your little toe in the little pool and go, it's a little cold, but I'm going to just kind of keep my foot here for a little while until I get used to the water. Then I'll put a little bit deeper in there, and then I get used to the water temperature again, and then I put a little bit more. Next thing you know, 2 months, 3 months later, your ankle's in, and then your knee, and then you're standing with both legs in there, and then you're all the way in the freaking pool. Boom, metaphor complete. Prednisone. Okay, who here saw that coming? Nobody saw that coming. Nobody here saw that coming. Had a discussion with somebody about prednisone. It's an anti-inflammatory, essentially kind of, you know, keeps the immune system from doing its job. Don't get me started, you guys. But I talked about diabetes a few minutes ago, and this is sort of that same idea, the discussion I was having, which is yes, you're having an inflammatory problem, probably an itis or back pain or something, and the doctor gives you prednisone. And it does keep the inflammation at bay. And so there's short-term relief. But again, the bigger picture here is that that's treating the symptom. But I've done a fair amount of reading on the whole microbiome bacteria thing. And one of the things that steroids do is destroy your gut bacteria. That's even just painkillers like Advil. They mess up your gut. And prednisone is no exception. And so you have to understand that while it's doing the one thing, and by the way, maybe fully appropriate in the time that you're doing it, but again, understand the bigger picture, that it's not the cure. It's treating the symptom. It's not the cure. Going on a high protein diet, low carb diet to keep your blood sugar down is a symptom, but it's not taking care. It's not curing the problem, which is your body's inability to use your inability to use insulin effectively, which is really not about carbohydrate because it's supposed to take carbohydrate out of the bloodstream. That's what insulin's job is. The question is, why is insulin not being able to do its job? Why is it not able to do its job? That's not because you're putting carbohydrate in, because we're designed for carbohydrates. That's the best fuel source for our bodies is carbohydrates. What fuels the brain, for crying out loud? Not a carbohydrate problem, it's an insulin problem. There's a bigger picture. So yes, you can measure your blood on a high protein diet and maybe it spikes less, but you're not going to be healthy. You're not going to be, high protein is not a high, a healthy diet for diabetics or anybody else, period. So there's bigger ramifications than just the blood prick test. There's bigger ramifications than just keeping your inflammation at bay when you have tendonitis, bursitis, plantar fasciitis. There are bigger pictures. It may be appropriate because there's mental issues around being in pain. I get it. I'm not telling anybody to stop that stuff. Are you kidding me? When you're in pain and you get depressed, it's depressing to be in chronic pain. So you need a break. I get it. I totally get it. But at the same time, again, are you aware of the bigger picture? Can you do other things while you're on those things? Like if you're on diabetic medication, can you change your diet to start including the things that are actually going to take care of this problem? If you're on prednisone for anti-inflammatory, can you change your diet? Can you take probiotics? Can you do the things to build your body back so that over time you can get off those things? Can you bring your weight into a healthy weight range, diabetic or otherwise? These are the things. This is the thing. And again, it's not this or that. It's not then tell your doctor to screw off. Of course not. Doctors totally know what they're doing. But I think it's a good thing to create a balance between that mode and the other mode and kind of boom, 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 little tweaking, little adjustments here and there so that you're on this drug, but your weight's coming down, you're eating a lot better so that eventually you can wean off that drug with your doctor's guidance, of course. And by the way, let's be clear, and this is not a legal, like, you know, just be doing a fine print. But I've had clients who go like, yeah, I started taking myself off medication. And I'm the first person to go, don't you dare do that without talking to your doctor first. Are you kidding me? That's the most irresponsible thing you could do. If you think your blood pressure is going to come down because you're eating better, because it freaking will, let your doctor know so that he or she can make appropriate adjustments to your medication. That's how that works. They're the pros in the medication world, period. End of story. Boom. Okay. Use them for what they do best. Okay. Went to hot cocoa to cold cocoa. That happens. Okay. I went to a costume party last Saturday. My wife and I went out. Apparently people go out. Didn't know that. People with twins usually don't. We went to a party. The kids were at my in-laws. So we actually went to a party. I surprised my wife and stayed at the Stanford Inn that night. First time, I've been there 9 years, never stayed at the Stanford Inn. Never stayed. Why would I stay at that crazy place? No, I'm just kidding. It's amazing. I just never have. And so we were going out and Joan Stanford's like, you should stay in a room. And I was like, you're totally right. So we did. And that was really fun. But at that party, it was a costume party. Little secret to you guys. I don't do costume parties. It's not my thing. I don't know why. There's no judgment about it. I mean, people were dressed up and they looked awesome and they were having the best time. And that's super cool. It's just not my bag. I don't. But it turned out to be a really fun party and really fun dancing, the whole shebang. But one of the songs that came up was the Talking Heads, one of my favorite bands, Same As It Ever Was, which is about one of the better songs that's ever been written. My cousin, by the way, Hillman Curtis, great director. If you ever want to check him out, go to hillmancurtis.com. He passed away a few years ago, but his website's still up. And I did a couple of his short films that he wrote and directed, and I was starring in a couple of them. Anyway, but he did a documentary on the Talking Heads on David Byrne, which was called Roar and Rise. Oh man, you know what? I didn't even have the title. Fail. Anyway, you can look it up. David Byrne documentary. Boom. Hillman Curtis. Same as it ever was. But anyway, so it got me thinking. Because this is what happens, the magic of the modern world, right? I was like thinking about this kind of thing anyway, and there's that song, and I was like, good night, Johnny. And the reason I was thinking about Same As It Ever Was is in the context of the political environment in the United States right now, which is that the election madness has begun. I told you guys this, if you're just joining me, you wouldn't know this, But ever since I started researching podcasts more than 2 years ago, I stopped listening to the news, and it's just been great. I get the cliff notes from my wife if something else comes up, or Jeff Stanford will be like, "You hear about that?" I'm like, "No." And he goes, "Jesus, you don't even know about that?" I go, "No." And then he'll fill me in if it's relevant. But I've been catching tidbits of the political arena, and it's so excellent because it's same as it ever was. It's the politics of fear. It's the same messaging. It's the same losing of jobs. It's the same immigrants are going to kill us all. It's the same financial ruin that we're on the brink of. We're on the brink of war, on the brink of financial ruin, on the brink of terrorism, on the brink of this, on the brink of that. And lo and behold, they're the ones that are going to save us because we need saving. And it's just a very interesting thing, the politics of fear, and how much that is prevalent in even the health and fitness world on a more subtle level, but still the fear of cancer, the fear of diabetes, the fear of heart disease, the fear of Alzheimer's, the fear of the itises. There's the politics of fear, very, very powerful. It can keep you afraid. If I can keep you afraid, I can keep you. If I can keep you afraid and convince you that I'm the person to alleviate that fear, excellent. Do I believe I can alleviate fear? Yes. But do I try to make you afraid in the first place? No freaking way. And if I am, then tell me. Go, "You scare the crap out of me, Sid." And I'll be like, "That's scary." And we'll just be scared together. But the same as it ever was is that the repeating patterns of life in the modern world, the technology changes, but the patterns are the same. You can go back and look at old newspapers and old, the messaging same, because things appeal to our natural design. And so it looks different, but essentially it's the same. It's scapegoating a certain group of people. It's making these messages that work. They work because they fire people up and they garner support. And I would be much better at my job if I could pull that off. Rephrase that. I'd be much better at my job if I would pull that off, but I won't. Why? Because it's wrong. Not my bag. It's not my message. It's not a solution to anything other than my bank account. And I got bigger fish to fry than that. But the same as it ever was also related to this. And once in a while, I get into the nitty gritty of this, my small steps approach. And so I wanted to talk about what I call the tyranny of maintenance. And this kind of relates to the idea of, like, you know how long it takes to, like, build muscle mass? Like, you go to the gym and you work out for like 6 months to a year and you bust your ass in that gym and you get the muscle mass. And if you stop for 3 months, you can spend a year working out. You stop for 3 months and it's as if you didn't do anything. How fast does it fall off? I mean, it's unbelievable. You eat really well for a long time and then you just fall off, and two months later, all your weight's back on and then some. I mean, it's so fast the way that it comes. And a lot of times I don't talk about what it takes to maintain in my small steps approach. I wanted to touch that here. And the same as it ever was is creating a new normal such that you get to a certain point and then you're kind of keeping it in the game. You're staying in the game. You're making it sort of like this long-term thing where 10 years from now, you're still doing that same thing, same as it ever was. Like, you kind of feel like, this is me and I'm kind of doing this. But here's the distinction. There's the same as it ever was, which is the behaviors that we do. I've always done that. It's the same as it ever was. I lose weight, I gain weight, I lose weight, I gain weight. Same as it ever was. I have a job, I hate the job, I get fired from the job, I don't like the job. Same as it ever was. I go from relationship to relationship to relationship. And then there's the same as it ever was, which is the same way that you approach life, the same way that you come into your life. And that's where my brain is focused, not on necessarily the concrete minutia of day to day, the particulars, but how you approach. That's what I'm interested in. How to get to success? Sure, via my small steps approach, but how to stay there is all as important, if not more important in a way, although they're kind of intertwined. So I don't even want to say one's more important than the other, but how to stay there, and that the there isn't the same as it ever was. The there can change. The thing that you do to be happy can change over time in my approach. The way you eat can change over time in my approach. Your job can change over time. The same as it ever was becomes how you approach your job, how you approach the food, how you approach your relationship. because it's a way that you engage in your life in its entirety. The tyranny of maintenance, I call the tyranny because the perception is like, oh man, how to maintain this is so hard. But it's actually not that hard, but it's necessary. It's necessary. The small steps approach does not get you to a place and then you go, I'm done. I'm dialed in. Because life in the modern world is too complex and too unnatural that if we shut down and say, I'm good, I can just phone it in from now on, you can't. You can't phone it in. There's too much to sway us outside of what we want to do with our lives, period, every time. We cannot phone it in. We cannot shut down. So the way that the small steps approach can both improve your life and maintain is just in and of itself. It's inherent in the process, which is having a living document, which is your small steps list. And what I was thinking is in the maintenance phase, I'm sort of in a maintenance phase. I'll be honest with you. Like my weight, I'm at a healthy weight. I got a flat stomach. I'm good shape. I don't have any diseases other than that rash. I'm no more info on that. Again, letting your brain go. But I'm sort of maintaining. I have a happy marriage. I've got a good family life. Is it perfect? Of course not. I don't even know what that means. But I have to maintain it. I have to maintain my life right now. Yes, I could be financially more successful, but I'm working my ass off. That's just what it is. I'm not like fretting about it. I'm trying to maintain the happiness and health of me and my family as best I can by teaching, of course, them how to do it for themselves over time, blah, blah, blah. I'm not even going there today. But I was thinking that in the maintenance phase of my approach, likewise in relationships, like I have a happy marriage, but we can't just make it same as it ever was because it won't last. I don't want to look and say, oh, this is just what we do. We've always done that. I want to spice things up, right? I mean, that's what you do in a marriage. That's what you do in a relationship. You keep things, to keep things fresh and new means engaging. You can't just rely on the things that always have worked because they may not work anymore. Things, because all of the rest of your life changes. Your kids are born. That's huge. That means sometimes maybe you got to take extra care to spend time with your spouse because the child is taking so much time. You have to make a concerted effort to grab back some of that time. Your kids leave your house and go to college or wherever, and all of a sudden you're left without a house, without kids in the house, and you're going, well, now what the hell do we do? We didn't engage in our relationships, and now the kids are gone. We made it all about the kids, and now the kids are gone. We don't know what the hell to do. We don't even know if we like each other anymore. Because it takes maintenance, it takes engagement to avoid same as it ever was. It takes spicing up. It takes changing a job, trying a new task, learning a musical instrument, writing a novel. All these things that I just listed, and writing a novel, you might go, oh, it's a huge undertaking. Not if you're a small stepper, writing 2 sentences a day, 3 sentences a day. Learning over time to do something fun for the joy of it and takes the judgment out of it, the good, bad, is this a good novel, a bad novel? Write yourself a novel over the next 6 months and then throw it away. Chuck it, burn it. Who cares? Doesn't matter. Or if it's good, keep it. Who knows? But the writing of it, I just had an email conversation with a podcast listener about this very thing. Wants to write. I go, write. And of course, it's easier said than done. But when you put a pen to paper, even if it's for 1 sentence a day, you're writing and you understand, oh, that's what that's like. And that begins the process of this. But the tyranny of maintenance is that you cannot small step, get your steps list going, follow those steps and go, okay, I'm doing all the steps. We're good. Toss it in the garbage, because you'll never win that way. And by winning, I mean be happy and healthy for the most part for the rest of your life. You're going to have bad days, everybody. You're going to be unhappy at times. But on the balance, are you happier more times than you're unhappy? Well, you've got to do something to maintain that. You can't do a diet and eat this really healthy food, assuming it's a healthy diet, and then lose all this weight and then stop. You have to maintain. If you lift weights and get to a certain weight, you can't stop lifting weights. Your body will go back down. It will find its balance to what you're doing. So to maintain, even if you don't want to gain any more weight, you still have to maintain. I can't run my mileage and then stop for 6 months and go, yeah, I'm going to start running that mileage again. I have to maintain my mileage. If I want to raise it, I got to raise it. I got to go through the process of incrementally raising my mileage. But to get to the point where I want to be, it takes maintenance. Does it make you happy? I don't know. I'm not going to answer that question for you. And you don't have to maintain anything. by the way. You don't have to, you don't have to, you can change something completely. I could tomorrow say, I'm never going to run again. I want to take up biking. And maybe a week later I go, I don't really like that. Bad decision for me. I'm going back to running. Who knows? You don't have to do anything, but the same as it ever was is this idea of like, this is what I do now. And that's always the trap that we fall into in the modern world. I think that is, it's what I do. It's what I've always done. It's the same as it ever was. It's who I am, but it's not. It's not. The only thing that should keep and stay the same is your approach to your life. Either the approach stays the same or the particulars of your life stay the same, especially by the time you get to be an adult. The habits and behaviors that have become ingrained, they will stay. It will be the same as it ever was unless you take on a new approach to your life, in which case it allows for the particulars to change over time with the approach staying the same. That's a recipe for success. Small steps is a way of life. It's a way of living, and it means you have to not have to. I'm always wary of using have to. But to live happy and healthy, here's what I believe, because I come here every freaking week for 117 weeks in a row. I believe small steps is a way of life. I believe it is a for the rest of your life way to live your life. I think that it is an engaged way to be super duper successful in the modern world. And if you could look back 25 years from now and say, same as it ever was, I'm still small stepping, your life probably is going to look completely different than it did 25 years before. But your ability to engage in your life has stayed the same, and that's the recipe for success as I see it. It's sometimes you're in the maintenance phase. Sometimes life changes. By the way, you get fired from your job, laid off from your job, and then you're not in the maintenance phase anymore. Then, after a life change, you have to re-engage as a small stepper who is in a adding things in and not necessarily maintaining, but improving, and then you get to a certain good balance. You're like, good, now you got to keep good. You got to keep small stepping in that way to maintain, to keep the success going. So I wanted to touch on that because a lot of times it's like, okay, if you want to exercise, you never have, here's how you do it. But what happens when you are exercising? Can you just shut off everything? No, you can't, because the world's designed to make it so you don't ever have to exercise ever. So you're still going to have to figure out a way to engage and to think about things and to stay as a thoughtful, considering person in the modern world to be successful and happy. It's what I believe. Boom. End of story. Not the end of story. I'm going to be here next week. All right, you guys. You're doing great. Podcast at SidGarzaHillman.com. I don't want to press upon you enough. I can't impress upon you enough how important iTunes reviews are. So we go on iTunes. Just go on iTunes and review or push a star. Jeez. You know, it's like pulling teeth over here. And for the record, if you saw the Thanksgiving feast video on YouTube, and my dad was like, boy, you really kind of dominated Lisa. Then Lisa, she was doing the intros, and she, for the record, was like, I don't want to do these. You do the talking. I'll just react. I'd get too embarrassed on if I'm doing this by myself. For the record, episode 117, you can email me and ask her yourself. Email me and ask her yourself. You know why? Because I'm in control, and I will answer her pretending to be her. I'll answer you pretending to be her, and you won't know anything. Anyway, that's the truth. She didn't want to do it. She wants to be in the videos. That's a huge thing. If you look at the other earlier videos, she wanted nothing to do with them. That's the fact that I've got her even in front of the camera is massive, and I think she does a good job. Eventually, like 6 months from now, she'll be freaking Celine Dion and up in those videos. But again, small stepping, you guys. Okay? All right, good. Email me podcast@sidgarzahillman.com if you have any questions or comments. I will be back next week with the Approaching the Natural podcast. It is a pleasure coming here each week for you guys. I hope you get something out of it. And if you can support the podcast in some way, I'll take it. All right. Come back next week, you guys. And in the meantime, be well.
Lived on Phillips Avenue, things would be presented so simply, and if I lived on Phillips Avenue, I wouldn't have to beg for an unraveling. I lived on Phillips Avenue. I walk around with a wall around me. I'd be blind and deaf and dumb at most things. I'd see more clearly than I've ever seen. And if I were you, maybe this would be untrue. And maybe problems lie so deep that they cannot be. Phillips Avenue, I wouldn't need these old distractions. And if I lived on Phillips Avenue, I wouldn't re-question these wrong decisions. And if I lived on Phillips Avenue, I'd be so satisfied you wouldn't even know me. I never needed. And if I were you, maybe this would be untrue. And maybe problems lie so deep that they cannot be and if I were you maybe this would be untrue and maybe problems lie so deep that they cannot. They cannot be, they cannot be discarded. I lived on Phillips Avenue.